Good morning. This is Word Made Flesh, the radio ministry of Neighbors of Hope. We'll share struggles and triumphs and how through the Word, everyone can experience the loving and healing reality of Christ's compassion. Now here's the Neighbors of Hope Executive Director, Pastor Stephen Palmer, with this week's Word.
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Welcome to this week's edition of Word Made Flesh. How are we doing?
Great.
All right. For our listening audience, this is going to be part two of a conversation that we started last week that focused on our spiritual formation, on becoming less offended. We looked at Paul's writing of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we concluded that verses 4 through 7 basically say that love is not offended. And so sometimes when we feel offended, we think that's our ego. So I hope you enjoyed this part two of that extended conversation from last week. We can simply say, love God, love neighbor. That is simple. Right. But let's be honest, how hard is that?
I think too, like, especially coming here, I was very humbled. And got to experience, because like you have this idea, I guess as a, you know, someone that's, you know, is in the military, and you do something in a sense it's like unconditional, like you don't know who you have an idea, like you're serving your country to protect them, and so there's no, like, besides your family you don't see nobody else. But then sometimes you come home and everybody's thanking you, like calling you a hero, blah blah blah. In that sense, well, then you get out to, like, as an adult, I went in as basically a child. You know, I right out of high school, so my experience was my little bubble. Then I went in there and experienced this bigger bubble. Then I come home and I experienced the America as an adult. It's a whole different world, because my expectations is, like, I'm going to be thanked for everything I do in life. Like, and so I went to school to become a social worker. I think I was going to make this great big deal, and, like, people are going to say thank you all the time. Well, that's not the reality, right? And, like, I see it every day with, you know, people have this expectation that because they do these good deeds or they do these good things or do whatever, that the people that are receiving them are going to thank them. Well, how can we expect people that are hurting and in pain to be thankful at that moment in time? In the back of their mind, they might be thankful, but they're still on guard. They're not fully healed yet. They haven't fully experienced it. You're just giving them a taste of that experience. And they still got to learn how to trust. And I think that's what's, like, for me, that ego, putting that ego away was, I'm going to do this. I'm going to wake up every day, and I'm going to continue to do this. No matter if somebody doesn't want it, I'm going to still try to provide it for them. No matter if they deny me access to them. No matter if they're, I'm going to be there. If I'm here and I show up every day to do my job, then I'm showing them that I'm committed to them. And one day they will trust that I have their best interest at hand. And I think we forget to do that. A lot of times we've forgotten to do that, to spend the time. We want the instant gratification. I think that's the ego that has to be put away, is that instant gratification that I need to get something in return for my deeds.
And all those unrealistic expectations. Yeah. And some of those even, like, don't you know who I am? You're supposed to respect me. Don't you know who I am? You can't talk to me that way. Yeah. You know, don't you know who I am? You should be saying thank you to me. Those type of things.
Yeah.
That's exactly what Paul says. You know, we need to put that to death. And so what it's encouraging to hear, for paying close attention, this is part of the evolution of spiritual formation. It's a growth over a period of time. We're obviously not going to do this immediately, but we need to become, kudos to you, more cognitive. We need to be more self-aware. That when that ego strikes up. So I'm telling you, a good barometer is when you feel offended.
Yeah.
When we feel offended, we're probably, maybe that wasn't quite pure love, is it? Is that my ego? Those type of things. Self-questioning, self-examine. We're talking about Psalm 139. Examine me, O Lord. We have to be a little more conscientious. So, you know, if you feel your little gut, you feel your little adrenaline rush, right? Or whatever you're getting from, like, that, right? Take a step back. You know, your little ego just got stepped on, right? And so, I still got to put that to death, don't I? I'm telling you, the minute you shift like that, it all of a sudden, as you're saying, Tim, changes your perspective about the other. Mm-hmm. And if we change our perspective about the other is actually more important than what my ego is, all of a sudden I start looking a lot like Jesus by emptying myself into them. You were going to say.
I hear a lot of people say that I just don't participate in politics or culture, especially Christians. Say I don't participate sometimes in politics or culture because it just seems, the big picture socially sometimes just seems tough nowadays. It seems, so this end result that Tim makes me think about, this end result societally that we have of bitterness, of offense, this Mara kind of principle that we've taken on as a culture, that we're looking for, we don't have enough things in the natural to be offended about. We carry around a box.
Yeah,
we're looking extra. Oh man, look at what that guy said about that.
On my Facebook page, right.
I'm extra mad now.
Yeah.
And I'm not only that, but I'm going to comment and it's going to be stuck. This anger not is naturally that God gives us that washes away with a good night's sleep or some hard work or a conversation. Now it's stuck forever in this digital space where somebody can then go back and revisit this offense if we want. We've chipped it in the stone on the cave wall.
Yeah, resurrect all the Mara, resurrect the bitterness. Okay, we're resurrecting the wrong thing.
Amen.
Yeah. All right.
I think about a story when my daughter was first born. I took her to her first doctor's visit, and she's getting checked out, and it came to the point where we had to weigh her. Like, she's 2 weeks old, and so I have to take all her clothes off and her diaper off, and I'm putting her on the scale, and she urinated on me.
They tend to do that when I diaper.
They do that, and I was not offended.
Yeah,
right.
Because right then, probably the most Christ-like love that you have is when you have this little baby, your firstborn. You're taking care of it. You love it. It hasn't done anything to you yet. It hasn't offended you. So, here, literally, I was urinated on, and in life we get urinated on figuratively all the time.
Amen.
But literally, I was urinated on, and I still loved her. Mm. I was not offended. I did not get mad. All those things of not to do, I didn't do. And I just still loved her. And I was, it's probably probably the most Christ-like I could be because of that love I had for her.
Yeah. Right? And doesn't that also become a nice little metaphor on what God does with us?
Yeah.
In a sense, how many times have we urinated on God? Mm. And yet God, right? Do we really think we have some of the capacity as a human being to somehow offend God? You got to look at the life of Christ. Somebody betrays me, I tend to get offended. All right, so somebody rejects me, I tend to get offended. You see, if we're going to be honest, those same things that happen to him, but we don't see him getting offended. And if Christ is fully God and fully man, we don't see God getting offended because they abandoned him, because they rejected him, because they betrayed him, because they beat him, because they crucified him. God does not get offended. I mean, literally, what does God say from the cross? Not that he's offended. Forgive them. Right? They don't know what they're doing. If anything, the motivation to execute God was because God offended them. Offended their way, whether that be the empire system, the religious institution, they got offended by God, and so we need to crucify God. Anything else?
Yeah, it's usually driven by this idea, this fear of the unknown.
Yeah.
And that's where a lot of that, I think, being offended comes from, right? Like, if you think about it, like, even when, like, when Jesus was at the table, right? He told them, like, somebody offended me. Somebody's doing going to do something wrong. I mean, he didn't have no crystal ball, but he knew he was going to be, in some ways, hurt by somebody close to him. It's not a prophecy that he can see visions. He just knew it because that's the reality we live in, because people, when they're scared, are going to do things that hurt other people because they're trying to protect themselves.
Yeah, and even that fear of protection could be ego-centered, right? And then, you know, a collective ego, it becomes the expression of a culture.
Yeah.
All of its culture. And so we can look in our culture. That could be political. That could be economic. That could be, you know, social status. That could be fashion.
Yeah.
Right? Et cetera, et cetera. Literature, music, yada, yada. All those things. So, in closing thoughts, then, is it fair to say that we all have work to do on our journey toward loving more wholly? Okay, listen, you're honest. Everybody's nodding their head yes.
Yes. Yes. I agree.
It's radio, gentlemen. All right? In other words, we all agree that, yeah, I probably get offended more often than I probably should. Right?
Yeah.
And so that being said, do you now have a better grasp on how you might be able to practically apply, right, the spiritual wisdom towards your spiritual formation?
Yes.
Yeah, just meaning... As I said, all right. If you start feeling offended, you know, that might be a heart check on it. Is that my ego? And I got to put that to death. All right. That's a real good barometer. All right, to practice. Because let's see. If I put my ego to death, I'll be less offended. I'll be more open to be self-emptying in a compassionate way. Which then becomes love of neighbor, right? I will the good of my neighbor. Because if my ego is offended, what I'm really trying to will is the satisfaction of my ego. Which oftentimes I want to satisfy the ego, it's one of these things, well, my ego feels offended, I'm bitter, I'm resentful, therefore my action step may be more of some form of retaliation. Right? Well, you hurt me, and my ego got offended, so I'm going to offend yours. Right? You stepped on my toe, I'm going to step on your toe. Well, that really looks like love of neighbor. Right? These type of things. So it becomes really somewhat imperative in our spiritual formation. As we are growing, all right, in our discipline to be more like Jesus the Christ, we need to heed what Paul's saying here. All right? This love, right, is not offended. Right? We love like Jesus, we're not offended. Thank you. Appreciate everything that you shared on this edition of Word Made Flesh. So until we meet again, may God's peace, love, and joy be with you always.
Thank you for listening to Word Made Flesh. Neighbors of Hope brings people hope through a comprehensive suite of Christ-centered programs that include the Men's Ministry, Blessings and More Resale Store, our Third Day Farm Project, Fishes and Loaves Food Pantry, and of course our radio ministry, Word Made Flesh. We're also in the process of establishing a Women's and Children's Transitional Housing Program. Find out how you can become a Neighbor of Hope at neighborsofhope.com. And please join us again next Sunday morning for Word Made Flesh.